Mort turned towards the dark entrance. It wouldn't be sealed until dawn to give time for the dead king's soul to leave. It looked deep and foreboding, hinting at purposes considerably more dire than, say, keeping a razor blade nice and sharp. "Let's find out," he said. "Look out! He's coming back!" The university's 8 most senior wizards shuffled into line, tried to smooth out their beards, and in general made an unsuccessful effort to look presentable. It wasn't easy. They had been snatched from their workrooms, or a post-prandial brandy in front of a roaring fire, or quiet contemplation under a handkerchief in a comfy chair somewhere, and all of them were feeling extremely apprehensive and rather bewildered. They kept glancing at the empty pedestal. Only one creature could have duplicated the expressions on their faces, and that would be a pigeon who has heard not only that Lord Nelson has got down off his column, but has also been seen buying a 12-bore repeater and a box of cartridges.
"He's coming up the corridor," shouted Rincewind, and dived behind a pillar.
The assembled mages watched the big double doors as if they were about to explode, which shows how prescient they were, because they exploded. Matchstick-sized bits of oak rained down among them, and a small, thin figure stood outlined against the light. It held a smoking staff in one hand. The other held a small yellow toad.
"Rincewind!" bawled Albert.
"Sir!"
"Take this thing away and dispose of it."
The toad crawled into Rincewind's hand and gave him an apologetic look.
"That's the last time that bloody landlord gives any lip to a wizard," said Albert with smug satisfaction. "It seems I turn my back for a few hundred years and suddenly people in this town are encouraged to think they can talk back to wizards, eh?"
One of the senior wizards mumbled something.
"What was that? Speak up, that man."
"As the bursar of this university, I must say that we've always encouraged a good neighbour policy with respect to the community,"
mumbled the wizard, trying to avoid Albert's gimlet stare. He had an upturned chamber pot on his conscience, with 3 cases of obscene graffiti to be taken into consideration. Albert let his mouth drop open.
"Why?" he said. "Well, a sense of civic duty. We feel it's vitally important that we show an example..."
"Oh!"
The wizard tried desperately to beat out the flames in his beard. Albert lowered his staff and looked slowly along the row of mages. They swayed away from his stare like grass in a gale.
"Anyone else want to show a sense of civic duty?" he said. "Good neighbours? Anybody?"
He drew himself up to his full height.
"You spineless maggots. I didn't found this university so you could lend people the bloody lawn mower. What's the use of having the power if you don't wield it? Man doesn't show you respect you don't leave enough of his damn inn to roast chestnuts on. Understand?"
Something like a soft sigh went up from the assembled wizards. They stared sadly at the toad in Rincewind's hand. Most of them, in the days of their youth, had mastered the art of getting rascally drunk at the drum. Of course, all that was behind them now, but the Guild of Merchants' annual knife and fork supper would have been held in the drum's upstairs room the following evening, and all the 8th-level wizards had been sent complimentary tickets. There would have been a roast swan and 2 kinds of trifle, and lots of fraternal toasts to our esteemed, nay, distinguished guests, until it was time for the college porters to turn up with the wheelbarrows. Albert strutted along the row, poking the occasional paunch with his staff. His mind danced and sang.
Go back? Never. This was power. This was living. He'd challenge old Boniface and spit in his empty eye. By the smoking mirror of Grism, there's going to be a few changes around here.
Those wizards who had studied history nodded uncomfortably. It would be back to the stone floors and getting up when it was still dark and no alcohol under any circumstances and memorizing the true names of everything until the brain squeaked.
What's that man doing?
A wizard who had absent-mindedly reached for his tobacco pouch let the half-formed cigarette fall from his trembling fingers. It bounced when it hit the floor, and all the wizards watched it roll with longing eyes until Albert stepped forward smartly and squashed it. Albert spun round. Rincewind, who had been following him as a sort of unofficial adjutant, nearly walked into him.
You, Rince Thing. Do you smoke?
No, sir. No, a filthy habit.
Rincewind avoided the gaze of his superiors. He was suddenly aware